Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn. Today is October 28th, 2017. We're on day two of our travel article, The Warm Heart of Quebec City. And we're learning about this intriguing city in Canada. It's very historic and it's quite beautiful. Great scenery, and there's a lot to see and do there. And I'm glad we're talking about it here in advance because we want to talk about places people don't normally go to, places off the beaten path. So instead of maybe just going to New York or Los Angeles or Vancouver and Toronto, we want to encourage our visitors to North America to try some different cities and really get a real feel for these countries and learn a lot. Quebec and Quebec City are quite interesting. It's a French province. It's not legally a French province within Canada, but it is, the culture is French within Canada, which is an English culturally country. So it's quite unique, actually. And even within Quebec, there are divisions as far as, and clear lines as far as which culture dominates. Some parts, English culture dominates. Other parts, French culture dominates. So even the language dominates in different regions of the province. Back in the studio with me are Hazel Johansson and Lois Fisk. Hi, panelists.
Hi, Bill.
Hello, Bill.
Great to have you back here for day two of this article. And before we get into our readings for today, I want to get from each one of you an insight or thought on yesterday's reading.
Okay, well, I like the title that says The Warm Heart of Quebec City. It is a city within the province of Quebec. In French, it's called Ville de Québec, which means literally City of Quebec.
Okay.
And it is the province of Quebec's capital. A lot of our listeners might think Montreal is. No, it's not. Montreal is the most populous city in Quebec.
Okay.
But this is actually its capital for this province.
Okay, so Quebec City is the provincial capital of Quebec. Mm-hmm. Of course, Ottawa being the national capital for Canada.
Right. So,
and you've been there how many times?
Probably Quebec City about four times in my life.
All right, you know somebody from Quebec.
Know somebody from Quebec.
Very well.
Yeah.
You know him very well, right?
My husband's originally from this province, but left when he was about 8 or 9 years old, and we had our second child in this province, Deborah.
Really?
But they're both from Montreal.
Okay. Would they be called Quebecers?
No, not. Well, they'd be called Quebecers, but not Quebecois, because they're not French Canadians or French Quebecers.
Okay.
So their English language is their dominant mother tongue. So, yeah.
Okay. All right.
So it's interesting, but definitely, yes, they're both from the province of Quebec, the city of Montreal.
Well, we know it's a cold time of the year and that there's a lot of gray stone buildings and chilly blue skies, and those things can be forbidding. You might not want to go out because of the grayness or the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
But the good news is, especially on this one street, the shutters by the windows, the awnings and the shop windows have very colorful decorations or paint. And so it makes you, gives off a warm feeling, a happy feeling. So that's one way to brighten up the situation is with nice colors.
For our skiers, snow skiers out there, you might be interested in knowing there are some great ski resorts outside of Quebec City, I believe north of the city. So it's a good place to go in the wintertime if you like to ski, snowboard, do some other winter sports.
Definitely. I think it's St. Anne they want to go to.
Yeah. And also, I believe the St. Lawrence River Seaway. Now, during the summertime is a great place to go for a cruise to go see some whales, right? So I think narwhals.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah. And, you know, there are some ships. I don't know how large and how many passengers they would have, but they are definitely ships, ocean liners, and they go all the way from, like, the mouth of the St. Lawrence all the way to Lake Ontario.
Yeah.
So that's also very exciting.
All right. So it's a great place. A lot of things to do here. Quite a variety. All right, listeners, let's get into our reading today. We're going to split it up into two sections, this page and the next page. So right now, we'll have our first reading.
past is present. One thing about Quebec City, the language is all French, but this place feels curiously familiar to Americans. Many places in the United States, including Detroit, were once part of Quebec and New France, right up until the French lost their vast holdings to the British in 1763. Even today, freighters you see on the St. Lawrence River likely have come from the Great Lakes, connected by a ribbon of water. Many names in Michigan, including Detroit, the Straits, still resonate of French Canada. Quebec City still lives amid history. A heavy defensive stone wall still marches around the old town, black cannons lining the ramparts. Even the stone house that belonged to 16th century explorer Louis Jolliet is pragmatically used as the ticket booth for the funicular hillside tram that connects the upper town to the lower town.
Past and present, that's how we start our reading today. And now, what about this language?
Right. The official language of the province of Quebec is French. But Canada's official two languages are English and French.
Now, she says here, the language is all French. When you are there, what's the situation when you're in Quebec City? Is it all French?
No, you can certainly, you know, I'm pushing this with our American listeners because it's such a tourist city for both tourists and travelers that there is a lot of English there to help you out if you need help with speaking or understanding something or that. And they have always very much welcomed tourists from all over the world. This city is dependent on tourists.
It is. It's one of their main industries. Yeah, tourism. So they know that they need to be good in that area. Okay. While it might be French as far as language is concerned, this place feels curiously familiar to Americans. Curiously familiar, usually like you get into something, you're like, wow, I feel like I've been here before, or this feels like something that I know or I've experienced before. That's what we mean, curiously familiar to Americans. So, how did you feel when you were there, Hazel, in Quebec? I don't know if you didn't make it to Quebec City, but what about the province?
Well, where we went was pretty isolated. It was a great nature trail, nice hiking, nice adventure place. But we didn't really meet many people, just one or two along the way. Mm. Didn't have a lot to say to them because we didn't know what to say.
Okay.
So I can't really speak to the city life there.
All right. Okay, you're out in the country. Now, to Americans, for instance, a lot of Americans don't realize this. Many places in the United States, including Detroit, were once part of Quebec and New France.
Yeah, because Quebec, you know, the borders have really changed, right, over the years. And I think of when I did my research, it was more like what we would refer to as New France. And, it went down really far south the United States.
That's really something. I'm picturing this thing, the province actually stretching farther down through the Great Lakes and all the way over to Michigan.
Right, and it went, this part of New France went as far west in Canada to kind of the very far east part of Saskatchewan, okay, which is kind of in the middle of our country.
Yeah.
But it really was, if our readers want to Google it, it's actually this piece that stretches, it's more like the length rather than the width. And it's very interesting, and you most Americans know about New Orleans and Louisiana and all that of New France.
Okay. New France. You know, it's funny, people are familiar with the term New England, but even many Americans may not even be familiar with the term New France. It's just not something that's part of their lexicon or their vocabulary. We're so conditioned with New England, but not New France. So, and I'll be honest with you, a lot of Americans don't really even understand the history of Canada and the province
of
Quebec.
Well, right, and for a good reason, because the French lost their vast holdings to the British in 1763. So that's well over 250 years ago.
Yeah. So that is why we have this situation in Canada, where Canada is, as I mentioned before, British, culturally a British nation, but the province of Quebec being culturally French, because actually both countries were laying claim to this territory and actually did fight several wars over who was going to control not only Canada, but also the United States.
That's
right. Later became the United States.
Right. And 1763, well, we know that both United States and Canada weren't formed as countries yet.
Right.
And we also know that if you've studied any of this party history, it went to the British after what they called the 7 Years' War.
Okay. All right. Is that it's the one in
1763?
1763,
it ended then. Yeah.
Okay. So, even today, freighters that you see in the St. Lawrence River, likely they have come from the Great Lakes, and they're connected by?
A ribbon of water.
Okay.
And you know, this is new to me, a lot of this, talking about the New France, and we may not know about it. You're right. I don't know much about that at all. And I'm surprised that Detroit was part of this area before, so I'm learning a lot of things today. Anyway, there's a ribbon of water that connects the Great Lakes to the Lawrence River.
Yeah, it's really interesting how in school we learn about our own country, but we learn very little about other countries.
Yeah.
We might, you know, learn names and that country's role in our own history. Like, for instance, as an American, we learn about, okay, what was the British role in our history, or the German role, and also the French, but from our perspective, we don't really learn their histories.
Whereas in Canada, we do, right?
Yeah.
Because it's newer. We didn't form as a nation till 1867, and we just had our 150th birthday party on July 1st of this year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that we study quite a bit in Canada, actually.
Okay. Now, this ribbon of water, what they're talking about is, it's that St. Lawrence River, the St. Lawrence Seaway that starts way up in the, far eastern part of Quebec. And the ribbon of water goes all the way down through all of the Great Lakes, all the way to, you could say, really the western tip of Lake Superior, which
right.
is in the middle of the United States.
What does Detroit mean, Bill?
Detroit?
What's it mean?
Detroit means automobiles and Red Wing hockey.
That's
well,
what I was thinking.
We find out it's a French word, and it actually means
Detroit.
The Strait.
The Strait?
Right.
Really? I
yeah.
didn't know that.
And it's in our article here.
Oh, okay.
The Straits.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, very good. I didn't see it before that. I didn't know. I was thinking automobiles and hockey.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Now, the names such as Detroit still resonate of French Canada. Resonate. What does that mean, resonate?
To have the sound of something, I think of. I think of sound when I think of the word resonate, something that influences something else.
Okay. All right. Has meaning. You mentioned something. Oh, that resonates with those people. That they have some deep connection with something. It has meaning to them.
And I could remember studying this in school, but until I did this article again, I went, oh, yeah, that's actually what Detroit means. But it's funny how we don't realize our words. We think of them now, that's an English word, but it's not actually an English word.
Right. Yeah, it's amazing. Throughout both Canada and the United States, all the different names from all the different countries that are there, French, English, German, and, of course, in both places, all of the places that are Native American, Canadians, words. So, Quebec City is part of that, and Quebec City still lives amid history, or it still lives in that history. Now we move on to a heavy, defensive stone wall?
Defensive stone wall still marches around the old town. It's a nice way to say that. Of course, the wall doesn't march, but it surrounds the town, the old town. They still have black cannons that line the ramparts.
Okay.
So there's a lot of history there, just as we talked about.
Yeah, ramparts.
Ramparts, yes. That's a word you don't hear every day, and it's actually because we don't hear it every day. It's in our specialized terms, and it means a large earthen wall that has been constructed around something in order to provide protection.
Okay.
And I just wanted to say to our listeners, if you go to Quebec City, please stay within the walled city. Spend a little bit more and stay there because you'll get the
You mean your hotel?
Your hotel or your bed and breakfast or
your guest house. Stay within the wall.
Because you'll get more of the taste and feel that you really are in an old part of North America, but also that European feel.
Okay. Yeah. I thought maybe I was afraid if I stayed outside the wall, I would be attacked by wild animals.
Or by those cannons, right?
Oh, okay.
Ooh.
No, it's very much a city, so
okay.
You're not going to get attacked by wild animals.
Okay, but it's just for the feel of
it. For the feel, it will cost a little bit more, but it's worth it.
Yeah, well, money's no problem for Hazel.
No,
And she can just pick. She'll be at the Hotel Fontenot.
To tickle our listeners' ears.
People might believe you, Bill. Be careful.
To tickle our listeners' ears, the American dollar goes, it's worth 30% more than the Canadian.
30% more. It's amazing, the exchange rate now. It's like 70 cents of, $1, it's 70 cents Canadian.
Yeah,
right?
So you know what? Americans, you're going to get a very good deal.
Wow. Well, it used to be equal a few years ago.
Yes, it did.
What happened?
Years ago. Well, I can't get into that.
Who knows? All right. Well, that's another. That'll be a next in our economics article in
advance. Well, maybe I can afford it after all.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Even the stone house that belonged to the 16th century explorer Louis Joliet is pragmatically used as the ticket booth for the funicular hillside tram that connects the upper town to the lower town. We are challenging our advanced listeners with these words in this sentence. Pragmatically.
Well, it means to be pragmatic, according to our lesson, but I think it's something that's practical, something that's done in a practical way, something that makes sense.
Okay. Logical, rational, has a lot of sensibility when we're pragmatic.
So there's a stone house. Why not use it as a ticket booth? Don't just have it sit there empty, you know?
Okay. I'm sure Louis Joliet would approve of the use. At least he'd be happy somebody's still using this thing. Now
you might hear that last name pronounced Joliet.
Joliet. Joliet. Okay. All right. I got to work on my French accent. Funicular hillside tram. Actually, this is like we call it incline.
Yes. And you want to take this ride in Quebec City. I've done it.
Yeah.
It's well worth going on.
We have a couple in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
It's so cool. There's
it's cool,
the side
isn't
of a
it?
Mountain, and it's like real steep, and you're like in this, and you're like, whoa. Is this thing going to fall?
They have one in Niagara Falls, Ontario as well. I've done it there, too.
Yeah, you got to go for a ride on it. So, all right. Let's get into our second reading.
Winter fun. The winter of 2014 saw record-breaking cold in Quebec City, with an average daytime high of 17.8 degrees Fahrenheit in February. Still, people came to the Christmas markets and winter carnival. This year, 2017, the German Christmas market will run from late November through late December. The big Quebec New Year's Eve festival features outdoor shows, lights, and a Ferris wheel. Winter Carnival, Quebec's most famous event, runs January 26th through February 11th, 2018. Other romantic things to do? Rent a car and drive just north of town to Montmorency Falls, a huge waterfall taller than Niagara. You also can travel 2.5 hours south from Quebec City to visit its big sister, Montreal. But in my opinion, couples seeking a getaway should just come here, stay put, wander the streets, eat lots of terribly rich food, and find a cozy place to stay.
Okay, our writer began this article talking about the fall weather and seeing colors and a chill in the air. And then now she is moving into having some winter fun.
Yes, she is. She's talking about the record-breaking cold in Quebec City in that year of 2014, with an average daytime high of 17.8 degrees Fahrenheit in the month of February. Now, that's the dead of winter in Canada.
That sounds like fun.
I was just thinking not. It doesn't sound like much fun to me.
Well,
that's too cold.
Yeah, 17.8 degrees Fahrenheit. That's about minus 8, minus 10 Celsius for everybody here. So, and that's the high.
Put on your parkas.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So what you're talking about is everything turning to ice and staying ice for that month. Yeah, actually,
right.
It's going to be for the month of January, February, right. Even going
and
into March.
Probably till about the first day of spring, March 21st.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's going to be cold. Be ready for it, but that's okay. You learn, you adapt, and you take up activities to enjoy this. So, for instance, people always tell me, oh, it's so cold, like in the winter, and where I'm from, it's not this cold, but still. And I say, you do stuff. I like to go for walks when it's snowing. I like it. I like going outside when it's cold.
Our family, no matter where we lived in Canada, we always did winter sports. That's how you enjoy winter. You invest in the best boots in the world to keep your toes warm and the proper clothes.
And you're all right.
And
you
dress fine.
Warmly. You're fine. Yeah. Okay. Now, it's chilly there, but still people came to the Christmas markets and winter carnival. Wow, so they got some activities. Even in February, normally you think, wow, so cold, can't do anything. But they got these great activities going on, don't they?
They sure do. Everybody likes a Christmas market, and that's a lot of fun. And I believe the winter carnival, does that have ice sculptures, Lois?
Yes, incredible ice sculptures, dog sled races.
Right.
And the dogs in the dog sled races are so well cared for. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to worry about them. They're wonderful.
Right.
Yeah, so there's a lot to do in the wintertime.
Yeah, all right. We got this German Christmas market that is there. And we've been talking about that. Many cities have German Christmas markets that celebrate the holiday.
That's right.
Yeah.
And in Canada, in the last 5 years, they've become popular with all our large towns to large cities.
Yeah.
So you can find one across the country.
Okay, so that is the Christmas market that runs from late November through late December. And then we move on to New Year's, don't we, Hazel?
New Year's Eve Festival features outdoor shows. Oh, that sounds chilly to me. Lights and a big Ferris wheel.
Okay.
Now, our listeners will be glad to know that there's lots of parts of this area of the city that will have kind of like big bonfires or some kind of logs with a fireplace, even outdoors.
Okay.
And there's lots of places to go in, get warm, and it's lovely.
Well, this is kind of a unique thing. A lot of people from this part of the world haven't seen is that, they'll have those big fires, like, you know, even in the city, just big log fires and warms people up, gets people out.
Exactly.
The whole idea behind this is to get everybody out. If we don't get out, then we get what they call cabin fever. When you get cabin fever, that means you're going crazy because you're inside too much and you got to get out and do something. So you got the Christmas market, you got the New Year's Eve festival, then we move into the winter carnival that goes from late January to early February.
Right, and that's where a lot of our listeners might have seen he looks like this big, happy snowman. And he's kind of
Olaf.
Bonhomme. I think he's Bonhomme.
Bonhomme.
Yeah, which means good man.
Okay.
And he welcomes the people to Quebec City, and he's dressed like a voyageur, which is like the people that discovered the province and part of Canada.
Okay.
And it's a really good time.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like there's plenty of stuff to keep you busy during the winter time and get out. So, okay, now let's get back to this romantic stuff. What is there to do, Lois?
Well, they're pushing us kind of out of Quebec City now. We're going for a drive, and they obviously have rented a car, and we're going to go down to the town to Montmorency Falls.
Okay.
Now, I want to tell our listeners that the writer, I would say a big waterfall, not a huge one, because it's really not that wide. It is a bit taller than Niagara Falls.
Right.
But it isn't anything like Niagara Falls. So I don't want to steer our listeners wrong.
We don't want to mislead people.
No, and I don't want them to miss, if they're going to see the provinces of Quebec and Ontario, please don't miss Niagara Falls.
Okay, but this Montmorency Falls is, would be worth seeing.
Oh,
just to
definitely.
Get out of the city. Don't expect Niagara Falls.
Yeah. And it's a beautiful area of the province.
Okay.
And you can travel to it from Quebec City. That gives you lots of time. They really are giving you a lot of time, 2.5 hours. And, well, that's actually 2.5 hours to Montreal.
Yeah.
Which you don't want to miss either. If you're never going to go that part of the world again, please get to Montreal as well.
Yeah, Montreal is great. So, how does our writer finish this article, Hazel?
Go there. In her opinion, couples seeking a getaway should just go there. Stay put, wander the streets, and eat lots of delicious, terribly rich food. Oh, and find a cozy place to stay.
Okay, make sure it's within those walls of the city so you're not attacked by wild animals.
So. Yeah, pay more.
It seems like a contradiction of terms, or like two opposite terms. Terribly rich. Now, explain that a little bit for our listeners. Terribly rich.
Okay, well, here they're saying terribly rich food because a lot of this part of the province of Quebec, Quebec City, has really tremendous French food with a lot of sauces and creams.
Right.
And we could have a 3-day article on just the food of this region.
Yeah. So terribly rich, I think of like heavy, I might say. Heavy, heavy food. And you eat it, and then you better get out and do some running around for about the next 3 hours to help digest that.
And wonderfully flavorful food.
Yeah.
But because it's in the French tradition, not huge portions, because they want to give you several courses.
Okay. Listeners, thanks for being here today. Thanks for being here this week. It's been great to be with you and working with you on all of these advanced articles. Thank you, panelists, for being here. Come on back on Monday. We'll see you then. Till then, this is Bill.
Hazel.
Lois.
Saying goodbye.
Au revoir.